Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as ELDUCHO Thrift. I'm very excited about this week's episode. I had the opportunity to interview a dear friend of mine, and her name is Brittany. You can find Brittany on Instagram under the username birdiejoe_, or on Poshmark under the username Birdie Joes, and all of that information will be in the show notes for you. I met Brittany a few years ago. We actually debated in the beginning of the episode. And we met at a PoshFest event. And however, we are both from Washington, which we soon discovered about each other. And we became fast friends. In the end of 2019, Brittany moved from Washington to California. It was so sad to see her leave. And during that time, she put her reselling business on hold, essentially closed up shop. It is now January 2021, and Brittany has come back in full force to reselling. She's so excited and invigorated about her business, and I'm so excited to share her journey with you. Let's get into the episode. Hi, Brittany. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you here. I mean, I'm killing two birds with one stone because I'm getting to talk with a dear friend. And also I get to record a podcast episode. So that is just like makes my week. So, so to the listener, Brittany and I are good friends. We've known each other for, I'm not sure how many years now, like three?
Two or three. Yeah.
Two or three years now. Yeah. We met as reseller friends at PoshFest, kind of?
The Bins. No, at the Bins.
Was it at the, really?
Yeah, it was at the Bins. Oh, yeah, I'm trying to remember who else. There was like a lot of people there with us, I want to say.
See, I think we met at PoshFest. Isn't this hilarious? We have two different versions of, we should have hashed this out before.
Maybe we did meet at PoshFest. Uh-huh. You mean the one in Texas, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That's the one maybe you're right. And then we went to the Bins afterwards. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what I think it was.
You're probably right. I'm probably wrong.
But no. I should say, okay, wait. Hold on. One more thing. We were DMing each other before PoshFest. So we had we were flirting with each other beforehand.
Yes, 100%.
We're flirting a friendship. Well, yes. Brittany sadly has moved away from me. She's no longer my state. She's living in the fabulous state of California. Yep. So we don't get to thrift together anymore. But then again, we're in a pandemic, so we don't get to get thrift together in general.
We wouldn't be doing it anyways.
No, we wouldn't. But Brittany, you're going to share a lot about your story here. But Brittany has kind of stepped back with reselling the past, has it been about a year and a half?
Yeah,
the past year and a half, and it's just now re-entering it. And so I'm so excited to have this conversation with you and just hear your thoughts and feelings on your business now and what it's been like the past year and a half. So I guess to just jump right into it, how and when did you first start reselling, Brittany?
Well, to start, I want to go back to like where my love for fashion started. And when I was younger, in kindergarten through eighth grade, I went to a Catholic school. And so we wore a uniform. And I just remember like appreciating, we had like a free dress day, I think it was called. And that's where you could like pick out, you know, what you wanted to wear. And I remember that being just like such a big deal to me back then. And I think that's kind of where like my just fascination with fashion and getting dressed and how it can affect like your mood and how it makes you feel, I think it started like back then. And that's why I kind of went on this like fashion trajectory after that point. And so fast forward a little bit, and I, in high school, lived in like a very wealthy area, and our family didn't have a ton of money. And so I was trying to keep up with, you know, my classmates and the trends. And back then it was like designer jeans were like all the rage, you know, it was like everybody had to have, you know, Seven for All Mankind and True Religion and that kind of thing. And so we couldn't afford that at the time. And so I decided I wanted to get a job so that I could buy my own clothes and like, you know, hang out with the cool kids or whatever it was that I wanted. And so I actually found Plato's Closet, and I grew up thrifting. And so me and my sisters and my mom would go thrift shopping all the time. But we had never been to like a buy sell trade store. And so when the one that open in Bellevue, Washington, I know Denali knows which one I'm talking about. we went there and I was like obsessed with it. I was like, this is like a curated thrift store. And it was just like so affordable, and they had all the designer things that I was looking for. And so anyways, I turned 16 and I like walked in and did an application and pretty much got hired like on the spot for Plato's.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was really exciting back then. And that's kind of where reselling, I think, stemmed from, because I loved working at Plato's and I became a buyer very quickly there, which if you're not familiar, you bring in your clothes to Plato's Closet and someone will sort through them. And that's usually the buyer, and they decide whether, you know, the piece is acceptable and how much money you're going to get and those types of things. And so I quickly realized how much I really enjoyed doing that aspect of it. And I did that for years. And while I worked there, I remembered that me and my manager had really good relationships with eBay sellers. So we had like a lot of moms usually that had kids in school, and they would come in and like buy designer bags or designer jeans from us. And we would like hold things for them. And we just had like this really cool relationship with these resellers. And I remember even thinking back then, like, okay, that is the coolest idea. Like, I wonder how you get started doing that, like what that takes and just what's involved with all of that. And I think that that's when like this little seed was planted in my head. So anyways, fast forward a little bit more. And I went to the Art Institute in Seattle for fashion marketing and apparel merchandising. So I took a lot of marketing classes, but focused a lot on the visual merchandising aspects of the fashion industry. So, you know, dressing mannequins, doing window displays, doing like color stories and things like that. And once I graduated, I worked at H&M and Forever 21 as a visual merchandiser. And that was awesome. I loved it so much. The downside to that is that you work the weirdest hours because you have to work usually when the store is closed, at least for like the very big projects that the store has. And so I would work, you know, 11 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning for like 2 weeks straight. And it was just bizarre and difficult because I was married at the time and like never saw my husband. We had opposite work schedules. And so once we decided that, you know, we wanted to start a family, I quickly realized that visual merchandising was not very like parent friendly, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when I was pregnant with my second child, is when I just would watch like thrifting videos on YouTube because I loved thrifting so much, you know? And so I'd do like thrift with me's or whatever. And somehow I started finding resellers who were thrifting, you know, for profit. And yeah, it was just like this huge light bulb moment, I feel like, where I was like, oh my gosh, like I can totally do this. And I was staying home with my son, who was a year at the time, and I was pregnant. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of money and things were pretty tough at the time. And I was like, okay, I can totally do this. I can go, you know, to the thrift store and I know what to look for. I know what items sell. Like, I know what's on trend, you know, from my background, like I can totally do this. And so I just took the plunge, and this was in 2015 is when I very first started it. And I think I just started out like selling my own things, you know, from my own closet, like on Poshmark. Mm-hmm. And then it slowly like ramped it up from there. But yeah.
That's okay.
Where it started.
That's a journey.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
I was telling Brittany before we started recording that that I feel like you've checked off all the boxes that, like, I feel like a lot of resellers have similar jobs or backgrounds.
Yeah,
you know, and they don't necessarily have all the things together, but you do. Like, you worked at a buy sell trade store.
I know.
You went to fashion school. You worked in visual merchandising. You know what I mean?
I know. Like,
you did all of the things. Okay. So can we go back to when you were working at the buy sell trade store? You said at that time that you were familiar with the concept of resellers. I'm curious, you know, you said that people were they purchasing or selling to you guys, or both?
They were purchasing from us. So basically, you know, we would buy, and if I know a lot of people source as a reseller from, you know, Plato's Closet and buy sell trade stores, because, you know, they focus on selling their items at 70% off of the retail price. And so even with the designer jeans and stuff, we would mark them anywhere from like $35 to like $60. And then the resellers would come in and buy them and then turn around and flip them on eBay for like $150, especially if it was like a very desirable like cut or a style or like had a, you know, limited edition pocket or whatever it was, they would mm-hmm. like, you know, buy it and turn around and, you know, get a much better profit. But we didn't care because, you know, we priced things a certain way and we were happy that like someone was coming in and buying like hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of merchandise from us, you know? And so we were like, great, mm-hmm. like, let's have this like symbiotic relationship with these resellers. And we would like call them when we get really cool stuff in, and we just had like these really cool relationships with them. And I loved the approach that my manager took to it, because mm-hmm. I think that someone could have been upset, like a different kind of person could have been angry about that or been like, no, like you can't do that, or I don't know. But I feel like she was very smart about it, because she just built this really awesome relationship with these resellers who just came in all the time and like would just spend hundreds of dollars, and it benefited both of us. So
yeah, so I think, you know, a lot of times especially when people are new to reselling, they're worried about, you know, being in the thrift stores or being in buy sell trade stores and kind of being spotted or outed as a reseller, right?
That
somehow the employees will be angry with them, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that maybe in some scenarios that's true or could happen.
Yeah.
Not definitely the case at the location you worked at. You know, what advice would you give to somebody if they were looking to partner, you know, or create a relationship similar to what you're talking about?
I think that the best thing you can do is just be super upfront. And I would like pull the manager aside and just say like, hey, like, this is something I do. This is my business. Like, here's my card or here's my website or whatever. Give them as much information as you can and try to just get them to understand that, like, this is what you do for a living. This is very important to you. You know, like, your job should be respected and you respect them and you respect their store and you respect their job. So you can try to create this relationship instead of being like sneaky about it. I feel like it's just so much better to just be upfront, and like worst case scenario, they say no and like, you know, okay, you can go somewhere else, you know, like,
right.
The odds of them saying no are so slim though, I feel like, especially if you're kind and respectful and, you know, intelligent. Like, I guarantee that most managers of a store are going to realize, like, okay, this is a big benefit to me, because if I make this relationship a priority with this person, they're going to keep coming back and they're going to keep spending money, which is a benefit to me and my employees and my business. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. And I've heard of other resellers doing this and partnering and building relationships with buy sell trade stores. And it, mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard only good things, right? It's only right. become more beneficial for their business. You know, again, as a former buy sell trade store employee, I'm curious, you know, what advice or tips you would give to people, to resellers, about selling to buy sell trade stores or even shopping them. Maybe, I know that's two different questions, but yeah. run with one of them.
When selling, I would say the number one thing that you're taught when you work there is to go off of trend. So the number one thing that those buyers are looking at is this in trend? Is this, what's on the runway? Is this what influencers are wearing? Like, that's the stuff that they want. They're not so much looking at the brand necessarily. You want to look at like the style and the trend first and foremost. And then probably the brand second after that. So I know some people like to, you know, go to the bins and then like take it directly to a buy sell trade place. And if you're doing that, I would say really like study your trends before you go to the bins so you know what you're looking for. And even if like, you know, a lot of stuff is vintage has come back around. And it's like, if you find this really amazing vintage piece, you know, that's right on trend, it's like, that's something they will take, because to them, they're just trying to find, you know, those really trendy pieces that are just going to sell super quickly for them. Mm-hmm. And especially Plato's Closet, just because their demographic is very young and, you know, they're all on TikTok and they're all watching those influencers and they want what they're wearing. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what about shopping tips?
So for shopping, I personally, as a reseller, don't love going to buy sell trade stores. I just find that the price point is just too high and there's not enough return on your investment. I would say one of the best things you can do is follow their Instagram or their Facebook so that you know when they're having those sales. And I would try to take advantage of some of those crazy sales. They have, sometimes they have like 70% off, you know, sales, or like a dollar sales. That's like when you want to go in there, and it makes it so much easier for you as a reseller because everything's already been curated. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you have something that's 70% off or a dollar price tag, it's nice to just, you know, grab a lot of things and be able to know that you can make a profit off of them. And they're most likely going to be trendy and, you know, something that someone's looking for.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Those are great tips. Okay. So fast forwarding a little bit in your journey, you go to fashion school, mm-hmm. You get this job in visual merchandising. When you went to fashion school, is that the job that you wanted to have? Or, you know, where did you like, what would have been your dream job leaving fashion school?
Well, it's weird because originally when I went there, I genuinely thought I wanted to be a buyer, and I took buying courses and I like hated it. I mean, I just like despised it. I couldn't get into it. It was just so boring and so repetitive. And I just like didn't want anything to do with it. So I kind of like changed lanes, and it's just funny because I literally went to like the opposite end of the spectrum, because it's like, you know, I went from like the super hardcore like marketing side all the way to like the artistic side of the fashion industry. And so, yeah, I think when I started, it was never my plan to do visual merchandising. I think I had to take the course. And once I took it, I just like loved it. And I just kept taking classes after that on it and doing more research on it. And I was working at Forever 21 at the time, even when I was in school. So I had started trying to get a visual merchandising position at the time, which I ended up doing, which was great. And the more I did it, the more I loved it. And it's really cool. It's like combining art and fashion. And, you know, my favorite thing was doing mannequins. Like, I loved like picking out the outfits and like dressing them, which is like not surprising now, you know, because that's like what I do for a living now. But yeah, I think it would be incredible to be a visual merchandiser for like a giant place like Nordstrom or, you know, something like that. Like, but I just, like I said, I feel like the lifestyle is just like not, it's not really attainable for me right now.
Right. Okay. So that kind of bleeds into the next thing I was going to say is that, you know, you were pregnant and yes. working or, you know, didn't want to continue to work these kind of
yes.
off hours. You said it was like 11 at night till about 7 in the morning, which is mm-hmm. easy when you don't have children, but much yeah. more challenging as a married person with children on the way. Okay. So yeah. you phased out of visual merchandising at what mm-hmm. point? I guess I'm just trying to gauge the time frame. I know you said in 2015 is when you started reselling.
Yeah.
You know, was that, I mean, was it within months of leaving that job? Are we talking like years?
No. So I actually left visual merchandising before I had my son, who was mm-hmm. my oldest. And so it was a couple years before I started working again. So like we had just decided like, okay, I'm just, you know, not going to work. We're going to try to like start a family. And, you know, my husband has a great job. And, at the time we were able to do that. But yeah, I think it was like, I want to say I was like 6 months pregnant with my daughter, and my son and my daughter are only 17 months apart. So they're like, you know, very close in age. But I just remember feeling like I couldn't just be a mom. Like that just wasn't for me. And I always pictured that I wanted to be like a stay-at-home mom, and that would be like, you know, my job. But I just like did not feel like that was enough. I just felt like there was something missing, you know, from my life. And not that I don't adore my children and love my husband and my life and, you know, things like that. It's just that I needed some different type of fulfillment, and I just mm-hmm. was not getting it. And when I started reselling, it was just like the best thing for me personally, because I think that I realized how awesome it was that I could like set my own hours, and I like worked for myself, and it was something that involved a lot of things that I really, really love. And so it was just like this pivotal moment, I guess, in my life where I realized like, okay, this is what I was missing mm-hmm. was this aspect and this like passion for something and this purpose, you know? So.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people can relate to that of, you know, you think you kind of want one thing in life and then you get that thing and you're like, oh, maybe I kind of wanted these other things too. And
yes.
how can I have my cake and eat it too? I get that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So 2015, you said you started reselling, and initially you started on Poshmark.
Yeah. And I actually joined Poshmark in 2012. Like when they were really, really new mm-hmm. and I sold like a couple things, you know, from my closet, and it was just, there was barely anybody on it. And I felt like, you know, I didn't really shop on it or anything. Because there was just nothing that I really liked. And I remember I had it on my phone for so long though, and I just never used it. But yeah, then when I finally did start reselling in 2015, yeah, I just started like listing my own stuff. You know, I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to start. I'm just going to see how this goes. And I think I like priced everything super, super low. Like I want to say like, I don't know. I had like some Lululemon pieces that I probably like priced at like $12 or something.
Oh no.
You know? And so everything like sold super fast. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, this is amazing. But it's just cause like I priced it so low. I'm sure like resellers bought it for me and they're like, what an idiot.
You're like, wow, all those bundles that I was selling.
I know. So, that's hilarious. Anyways, I quickly learned, I was like, oh, okay. I can like actually like price stuff like higher than this. Right.
Okay, so you start selling on there, you're selling, you said some items from your closet, and you know, you see reselling on social media. So did you just start going out to the thrift stores and started picking stuff up?
Yeah, so The first couple times that I went sourcing, I just went to Value Village and, you know, was just looking for like those really high dollar items and just being really like picky and stuff. And I just remember feeling like, I don't know, like maybe it like wasn't for me, like that type of scenario. So I decided to go to the bins. And I had been before when I was younger, I want to say probably when I was in high school, I went with my sister and we were just looking for ourselves, but we went a couple times because we just thought it was like so fun and just like different, you know, and so cheap. And like, so we went to the outlet in Soto, and that's the same one that I went to once I started reselling. And I remember the first time I went, I like got just like this heaping cart of stuff for like $80. And I remember just like my mind was blown and I was like, I can like quadruple my money. Like, this is crazy. And I just remember like being like, how is this a job? Like, how can I do this? And just like loving it from that moment. And then from then on, I like was just a complete like bins addict, you know? Cause there's nothing like that, Denali, you know, there's nothing like digging for treasure.
I'm having flashbacks of us at the Seattle outlet with our carts, like totally. Yep. It was always you and me. We always had the biggest cart.
I know, every time.
Ours would literally like, it would be a mound, like a mountain. I know. And then other friends would have like 12 items in their cart and be like, how did, like, am I just taking home all the junk?
I know.
Okay, so you're definitely a bins person. So in general, at the time when you first started, there was no thrift stores at all. It was just like only the bins.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I would go to like some sales and stuff. So like if Value Village was having like a 50% off sale I would go like hit that up. Because at the time I lived pretty far from the bins. And so it was probably like a every other week kind of thing. So I'd go and like stay all day and try to get as much stuff as I possibly could so that it could last me, you know, to list for the next like week or so or however long it was. So if I couldn't have a full day of sourcing at the bins, I would sometimes like pop into a thrift and try to find, you know, some like pieces to supplement my inventory basically. So.
Okay. So, going a little bit further in your journey, you know, because we're friends and I know you, you have 3 children now. We kind of left it at 2, but there's 3 kids now. So, you know, what did reselling look like, you know, kind of thinking about like 2015 to 20, I'm trying to think when you moved, like 2019-ish, you know, reselling and being a parent of 3 and how, you know, fit, you know, 3 small children, right? And finding the time to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. But I just realized like that it gave me, you know, some way to like step out of the difficulties of being a mom, and it gave me something else to like look forward to and something else, like another facet to my personality or to my purpose in life. And so when they were all really small, it was really tough because I would try to photograph or, you know, do stuff like that, and they would just all be in the way. And like, all, you know, little kids, they just want to be with you, they want to help you, they want to do what you're doing. And so I would have to usually like photograph and do certain types of things once they were asleep. But one of the things that I really loved about reselling was that like the listing aspects of it, the sharing, those types of things, that was all stuff that I could do just when I had these little chunks of time in between, you know, my normal like day-to-day mom, like wife stuff that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was great that I could put as little or as much effort into it as I wanted to. So there would be some days, you know, where I would just like go ham and like photograph a bunch of stuff and list a bunch of stuff and, you know, like sell a bunch of stuff and just be so jazzed about it. And then there'd be other days where like, you know, my kids were sick and I, you know, didn't do anything. And I was kind of able to like control the ebb and flow of my sales depending on how busy we were as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I was able to like stick with it for so long. And I think that's why there's actually a lot of moms that do reselling, is just because you're kind of able to have the best of both worlds. You can, you know, be this entrepreneur and, you know, make your own money and do something that you love, but you can also still have the time for your family. So,
yeah. Okay. So then I'm like at a snail's pace, moving a little bit further along in your journey to, 2019 when you moved?
Yeah.
Okay. So 2019, your family decides to move, a big change in your life. Yes. And so what happens to reselling at that time?
So at that time, things were like really up in the air for us. We weren't sure where we were going. And so I decided that I was just going to basically like dissolve my inventory. And so I put like everything on auction on eBay, and I had probably about like 100 auctions ending every single day for like 2 weeks.
Oh, geez.
And I just sold through like my entire inventory, and it was insane. I mean, me and Porter were like, Porter's my husband, we were like burning the midnight oil like every night, packing up like hundreds of packages and shipping them out. But, you know, it was at the same time, it's like, how great is it that we were able to like still make a profit off of those things? And it wasn't like a big loss, even though I had to stop selling. It was like, you know, okay, I'll sell off my inventory. And I kept all my supplies and things like that. And I was like, whenever we get settled and I can, you know, get back into this, I will. But like, for now, I've got to just, you know, pause on this and wait and see what happens.
Okay, so you sold off all of the inventory. You did it by auctions, which sounds like exciting, but then also a nightmare all at once.
Yes. Yes.
You guys moved to California. Yep. And how long of a break did you take? And, you know, how was it being on a sabbatical from reselling?
So once we moved to California, we were in an apartment in downtown Santa Monica with three kids. We had like a one bedroom, like little apartment, and it was so hectic and like, just like really difficult, to have the kids and everything going on. So I obviously couldn't do it then. But once we moved into our house, it was December of last year. So just right before Christmas. And then, on January like 10th or 11th, I actually fell down the stairs and broke my leg. And then right when I was like getting better and able to like walk again, COVID came.
Yeah.
And
the punches kept coming.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, I figured like once I got into our house and we kind of got settled that I would start reselling again. But then just with everything going on and in the world, and we decided as a family that we were gonna homeschool our kids. And so I started, you know, basically making like a curriculum for them and doing all that. So it just like kind of fell to the wayside. But throughout this whole year, I've missed it, you know, terribly. And I still have tried to like follow along with, you know, other people who are still doing it, and always had the intention of coming back. I just didn't know when, when that would be, really. So yeah. And it's funny because I didn't really plan to start either. It just kind of happened, I guess, like a couple weeks ago. I just like woke up one day and I was like, okay, like I'm just like doing this because I am so like tired of the monotony of my life. And I'm really, really like missing something. And it's kind of, it reminded me of like how I felt when I was pregnant with my daughter when I first started. And I knew like, this time I knew exactly what was missing, and I was like, I know exactly what to do to like fill this void, so I'm just gonna do it. I just like decided that I was gonna go, you know, jump in and here we are again.
Yeah. So now that you're back in it, you know, what's it like rebuilding your business?
It's definitely hard because I, you know, my Poshmark is deleted, my original account, because I had so many like listings and they were just all like messed up. And like, I had people like buying stuff I didn't have anymore. And anyway, since I sold most of it on eBay, it was just like a big headache. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, get rid of it. And if I ever want to start again, I'm just gonna start over. And I kind of wanted to like rebrand my shop a little bit, I felt like. And so I was okay with, you know, picking a new name and kind of like taking it in a little bit of a different direction. But it's just weird because my closet, I had had my previous closet since 2012. So I had like 170 some thousand followers. Mm-hmm. And so my closet was reaching such a wider range of people. And now that I've like started, you know, back at square one, it's like, I think right now I have like, 4,000 followers or something like that.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But it's just like, you know, your scope is just not as big. And so I just have to kind of be patient and grow that back up. And I will say that this community is something that I love so much, and everybody just like welcomed me back with open arms. And I think I was really nervous about maybe how people would feel that I hadn't been posting or hadn't been around, but like everyone was just so supportive and so kind. And so that's been like one of the best parts of this whole thing. So
yeah, I think it's, you know, being in this community for a few years now, and you know, people come and go and come mm-hmm. and go, you know, maybe a few different right. times. It's always to be honest though, it's always so exciting when somebody comes back.
Yeah. You know? And I think that's like the beauty of this job too. Like I said, it's like, you know, you're able to have so much control over it. And mm-hmm. I think that it really works for people who have a lot going on in their life. And I definitely think you need to be like a particular type of person to be good at it. But I think that when you find it, like if you're supposed to be doing it, you're always going to come back to it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay. So with my regularly scheduled questions, I wanted to ask you, you know, now that we're kind of, you know, we're at current present day,
yes.
You know, where do you sell currently? Because I know that you've sold on multiple platforms in the mm-hmm. past, you know, where do you sell currently, or where do you plan to sell?
So I'm just on Poshmark at the moment. But I do plan to go back on eBay at some point in the near future. I'm just trying to slowly like ramp up so that I don't get burned out or anything. I'm just trying to like ease into it so I can get like a proper inventory system and, you know, just basically get all my ducks in a row so that I know what I'm doing before I add another platform. But I will definitely be on eBay and Poshmark. Those are usually my two primary ones. I have done Depop before, I've done Mercari before, but they're just I don't know, I just don't make enough profit there for it to be worth it sometimes, I feel like. So I mm-hmm. mainly just do Poshmark and eBay.
And you know, in the past year, especially in 2020, mail in consignment had its big moment. So yeah. Like ThredUp and The RealReal, you know, have you ever done those or thought about doing those as a means of like offloading some of your work?
Yes, I've actually done both of them. And I definitely still send stuff into The RealReal, especially if it's like a more mature piece, but a really great label, like something that I'm not excited to list, but that I know has really good value, I'll send into The RealReal. And I think they're great. I like work with, I forget what it's called, but you know, you like have a person assigned to you mm-hmm. that you correspond with. And then as far as ThredUp goes, I used to send in, you know, my stuff that just like was really stale and just sat for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, but since they've, you know, made all their changes and stuff, I'm not really sure if I'm going to send them anything at all anymore, to be mm-hmm. honest. So.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned when you first moved to California, you guys were in an apartment, which would be, you know,
with three kids, a dog, and a husband.
Yes.
There was a dog in there, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I thought there was a dog in there.
Yeah.
You know, you might be short on space, right? For refilling.
Yes.
Now you're in a house. So tell me about what does your workspace look like? Have you been able to carve out a spot in your home for building back up your business?
Yeah. So our house is not super big here. You know, the market in California is very expensive. But we do have a 2-car garage and nobody parks in their garage in California. It's just, it's like not a thing, because it's just warm every day. And like, you don't have to worry about like, you know, your car being in your garage really.
And so these are cold weather people.
Problems. Yes. Yes. And it's like, it's funny. Cause like, I've never really thought about that before until we moved here. And I was like, why does everyone park on the street? Like, why doesn't anyone park in their garage? But now I totally get it because it's like having an extra room in your house basically.
Right.
And so I have just started setting up my office in, the garage, which has been great because, our main family room is kind of off the garage. So I just like prop the door open and I can work during the day. If my kids are, you know, like watching a movie or playing a game or whatever, and they're distracted, I can kind of just like pop out there and get some work done. So yeah, right now I'm kind of in the process of, like I said, like organizing it and trying to figure out, you know, where stuff goes and how I can fit it in and what part is my space and what part is my family's space for our storage and our, you know, other things that we have to keep out there. Mm-hmm. So at the moment I have like a big, probably like a 6-foot long, like one of those just like fold out tables, with like my computer and my supplies on it and my printer, my thermal printer and stuff. And then I have 2 racks, full size racks that have, like all of my nicer pieces hanging. And then I have some like bin storage as well for like pants and shoes and that type of thing. So
nice. And then are you doing your photographing out there?
I'm actually doing my photographing in our backyard because it's so sunny and bright every day, which is wonderful. It's not something that we had when we lived in Washington. And we have like a really cool like stone wall in our yard. And so I just put like a command hook, you know, like on the cement. And it's cool because we have like some vines in the background and then like the cement. And so it's kind of a cool, like, I don't know, aesthetic, I guess, without being like overbearing.
Yeah. So, I like that. I'm just curious what your neighbors think of you with a basket of clothing out there taking pictures.
Oh yeah. The other day, my neighbor actually saw me doing it and he was so confused. So I ended up talking to him later, but at the time he was like doing yard work or something. So he didn't, you know, come talk to me, but I remember he's just looking at me like, what are you doing? Like, I had like, you know, schlepping like piles of clothes and hanging it on the wall. Like, how bizarre.
Trash people jobs.
I know, right?
Yeah. So what's your inventory at right now? I mean, if you know how many pieces you have and kind of what are you aiming to be at?
So I have about 200 pieces right now. I have like, I want to say probably 120 is listed and then the rest are unlisted. Mm-hmm. So with COVID and everything, I'm trying to only source like once a week at most, just because I really want to like keep our exposure down and be like very safe. And so I'm trying to do a similar thing that I did before where I kind of like stock up and then like slowly list stuff every day so that it can, you know, last me the week or whatever. But I would ideally, I always want to be at 500 listings or more. That's always my goal, I guess, even in the past, just because I feel like that's kind of like the sweet spot, at least for me, as far as like making a couple sales every day and just being really like consistent. I feel like that's like the perfect amount. It's not like too much, it's not too little. It's just like a really, really good balance. So I would love to be at 500 at some point.
Okay. You know, in thinking about your business and growing it and relocating and having new thrift stores in your area, you know, I'm curious what challenges you feel like you face in your business.
Definitely the biggest challenge right now is the cost of my goods right now is just really, really, really high. Because I'm not, the bins are about an hour and a half away from where we live. And I just don't feel comfortable going there, especially like staying all day, like I would want to, in the future. And so I'm going to, you know, the regular thrift store, and the thrift stores in California, they're priced really, really high. I mean, they know their brands too. So Free People's usually, you know, priced anywhere from like $10 to $20. You know, a lot of designer things, they know what they are. Same with New with Tag stuff. So they obviously price things up, you know, even to like $30, you know, for a single piece. So that's always a little bit more daunting and overwhelming, just because you have to do a lot more research when you're looking at comps and things like that, because you've got to make sure that there's the room for you to make a profit on it, you know. And just because it's a good brand doesn't mean it's a good piece. So I feel like I'm just doing a lot more research, a lot more investigation into brands and styles and trends and things like that, just so that I am making the most of my time and money while I'm sourcing.
And have you thought or ever looked into like sourcing for items online? I know that people will sometimes they'll go on like ThredUp or eBay or even Poshmark to source for items. Yeah. You know, I know that was like a big thing in 2020 that people did.
Yeah, I've done that in the past, even, you know, before COVID and stuff. I would find, you know, deals on eBay and Poshmark and then turn around and sell them. I did also just probably last week, I placed an order on ThredUp through like their outlet portal. And which was actually really cool, because I was able to like individually still pick every piece, you know, and make sure that it went with my branding and the type of closet that I want to have. But it's like the more items that you spend, you get a bigger percentage off. And so
wait, tell me about this outlet. I don't know about ThredUp outlet.
Oh, you don't? Okay. So
I don't think I do, but
they have,
you know what? I feel like I've seen it on there, but maybe I couldn't access it or something.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just like a separate tab, like on my ThredUp app, there's like a tab that you can click on that says outlet.
Okay.
And, so usually like, you know, the first couple things that pop up are usually like, just like plain t-shirts or like, you know, a Champion tank top, you know, just like random stuff. So you have to figure out how to use the filters. So what I did is I would just, you know, pick a brand or a couple brands and add them to the filter, so it would only show me those items. So I got, you know, like Madewell, Show Me Your Moo Moo. I got a Tibby piece. And it came out to like each piece was around like $450, I think, at the end, like once I had checked out. Because I ended up getting like, yeah, I got like 40% off of, you know, my whole bundle or whatever. And I mean, $4 a piece is like really cheap for me here, because my average cost of good is like, I don't know, probably like 11 or 12 bucks at the regular thrift. So like $4, that's like a substantial, you know, savings. Yeah. Right. So I'm interested to see, like, I haven't got the pieces yet, so I can't really, you know, tell you too much about the ThredUp outlet experience yet, but I'm hoping that they're like in good shape, and, you know, because they're all like non-returnable, so I'm hoping that nothing's like damaged, and I can at least, you know, make a little bit of a profit on them. So
okay, cool. Well, I'm gonna have to check that out on the app then, because I just, as we were talking, I went to the website and I can't find anything about it on there. So I don't know, maybe it's like an app only feature.
Yeah, weird.
I know.
Well, I mean, there's nothing like sourcing on your couch, right? I mean,
the best.
Yeah, it's like I just turn on like Kardashians and, you know, source for my closet.
Right. And let your brain leak out of your head.
Yeah. And it's like, it comes to my door. I mean, there's like nothing better than that.
Yeah. I like it. All right. Well, okay. So now here we are, 2021, you're building your business back up. You know, if you could say, you know, where do you see the future of your business going or growing to?
I definitely want to be more intentional with the items that I pick up. And I really do want to create like a brand and create like almost a boutique type experience, like in my Poshmark closet and even on eBay. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't the case for everyone, but I've just discovered this about myself as a reseller, is that I really like love listing stuff that I'm interested in and love listing stuff that I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. And I know some people just, you know, like they're like, oh, I want to sell whatever makes me money. And I've just realized that like, I'm not that person. I'm the type of person that I want to like curate a look for somebody. I want to curate like a lifestyle, you know, within my closet and my brand. So mm-hmm. I really want to be intentional with that going forward and just being selective about the stuff that I put in my closet. And I just really want to build like a lifestyle brand.
And if I can ask, like, what's your style? Like, what do you want to build? Do you have like an aesthetic in mind?
I'm definitely like very bohemian, I would say. Like, that's how I would always describe myself and my style. And even
that's
like
how I would describe you too.
Yeah. Like our home decor and everything. I just like, I don't know, refer to myself as like a free spirit, I guess. And so I definitely like really like that bohemian kind of feel, like, you know, like Free People's like my favorite brand to sell, because, you know, that's just like my total aesthetic is their brand basically. So
yeah. Well, I was just thinking back to when we used to shop at the outlet together, and if I would find a piece that was like, gave me boho vibes, I was like, here you go, Brittany.
I know.
I'd be so like, is true. This boho? I don't know if it actually was. You were very kind. You always put stuff in your cart. I don't know if you threw it back later, but that's okay.
Oh, no. I like always got it. You always gave me great boho pieces.
You know, it's a good partnership. You give me something, I give you something. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I've found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
All right. Well, my last question for you, Brittany, is what advice would you give to yourself when you were first starting out in reselling?
I would tell myself to trust in my decisions more and to trust in myself overall. Mm-hmm. I think that in the beginning, especially, I was like very caught up in like doing what everybody else was doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really great that we have this community, but I think like a lot of people get caught up in, you know, what so-and-so's selling and like what brands this person's picking up. And I think that the best thing you can do as a reseller is just find what works for you personally and for your life. And go with it and just trust yourself. And if you, you know, there is a learning curve, but I do think that if you go with your gut for the most part, like you're going to be successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
do
just,
you feel
it's
like, just... oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you feel like, is there like an example that you can think of in your journey of reselling where you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't done this. And I wish I would have just listen to myself. Like, is there something that a trend that you picked up on in reselling that you're like, oh, I should not have listened to the crowd?
Well, I think that like one of the things that I did is like I would, you know, be obsessed with learning like brands and things like that and just learning what sold for other resellers. And mm-hmm. so when we were at the bins, I would pick up, you know, anything and everything. And then once I got home, you know, I would have all these things that I was just not excited about. I was not excited about listing it. I didn't care about it, you know, and it just made like me dread photographing it or washing it or doing any of those things to prepare it for my shop. And I almost didn't even want to put it in, you know, my closet, because I just like didn't like the style, or it just like did not make me happy at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that like I said before, I don't think that that's important to every reseller at all, but I just have figured out, you know, through this process and through doing this for years, that it's really important for me to like what I'm picking up. And so mm-hmm. I wish that I would have just, you know, done my own thing and picked up the things that I really liked and enjoyed, instead of, you know, getting like a, you know, like athletic brands or like hiking stuff, or, you know, like a lot of times I bought mm-hmm. just like these random things because I knew I was like, you know, I can flip this for a really good profit. But it was just not exciting to me. It was not inspiring to me. And I think that that's what gets me so excited about where I am right now, is that I'm really like picking up pieces that I love, and I can't wait for someone else to fall in love with them too and want to purchase them and like send them off to a new home, because I'm just so like in love with everything that I've picked up. So,
you know, it's funny you saying this, like, just triggered a memory in my head that I was like, yeah, Brittany does have, like, she does put her feet down about stuff, because I remember you wouldn't take men's pieces.
Yeah.
It's yep. funny, like, I don't know if you've changed your tune now, but I remember you would give me men's pieces because yep. you were like, nope, I don't want to sell men's. I only want to sell things that I enjoy reselling.
Right. And I think that I had started to figure that out towards the end, like before we moved mm-hmm. from Washington. And yeah. I think I had really started to like pick up on that and started to transition kind of to where I am now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right towards the beginning, I feel like I just like bought anything and everything, and that just definitely was not beneficial to me in any way.
So. Yeah, no, I get it. I agree with you. I think people, you know, you have to figure out what you like reselling, what's going to bring you joy in this job. And it's funny, my thing that I've put my foot down on through the years, pun intended, I guess, is that I don't like selling shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because people are like, are you crazy? You don't like selling them? Like, the return on investment is so good, you know, especially if you're like an outlet shopper, like you and I have been mm-hmm. in the past, mm-hmm. You can buy them right for like a dollar or less yep. and sell shoes for $50 to $100 potentially. But I just, they drain me. Like, I don't want to clean them. I don't want to touch them.
I don't like selling shoes either. You're not alone in that.
Okay, good.
I do not like shoes. I mean, it has to be like some really, really, really cute, nice yes. condition shoes for me to yes. pick them up.
Because same. Like, it has to be, yeah. I have to know with so much certainty that I'm going to get a lot of money for them yes. and they won't need a lot of work.
Yes, 100%. I'm with you.
Okay, good. Well, anti-shoe sellers, unite. I feel like there should be a club. Let's get even yeah. more niche in reselling.
Yes.
We just want to hang out with people who don't like selling shoes. Oh, okay. Well, great advice. It really is. You have to do what you love. You have to find your small joys in this job. I remind myself that every day. Thank you so much, Brittany, for being on the podcast and sharing all of this information and you know, being, you know, really open and honest about coming in and to reselling, and then taking a little break and then coming back. We're so excited to have you back.
Yes, I'm very excited. And I hope that like, maybe there's one person listening that I can inspire to potentially come back to reselling and realize, you know, what a great like job it is, and just how enjoyable it can be.
Absolutely. I'm sure that your story will resonate with somebody, or, you know, maybe somebody who's ready to take a little bit of a break and maybe give some mm-hmm. hope that they can come back. So
yes, 100%.
All right. Well, thank you so much, friend. I will talk with you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast. And there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Brittany for being on this week's episode of the podcast. As a friend, it was such a delight getting to talk with you, and I'm so happy that we are able to share your story about coming back to reselling after taking some time off, and spread it with everybody else for anybody else who might be in a similar situation. Again, you can find Brittany on Instagram under the username birdiejoe_ and on Poshmark under the username birdiejoes. Well, here we are about to enter February. Wow, I can't believe. Who knew February would even come? Man, 2020 was so wild and 2021 got off to an interesting start. But I think hopefully we're starting to get back on track. You know, tax season is upon us, for better or worse. The better would be hopefully that people are getting some refunds this next year or this upcoming year. And hopefully that produces some sales for all of us. But in the meantime, keep on listing and keep on selling.